Hello, very quickly I would like to remind you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries, like, comment, and share the videos.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we thank you and we love you. We give you the glory, the honor, and the exaltation. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you that you are our helper tonight. Thank you. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you help us to understand that it comes from here, from the Spirit, the inside, that understanding. Not ideas of man, but your ideas. The edification, understanding, discipleship of your children through the Word. We thank you. We trust in you, Lord. Speak it, the authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to us, Lord. Have confidence in it. Amen. Okay, last time, we're going to continue on our study series. God is my source. God is my source of healing, of wisdom. God is my source in difficult times, so God is our source. Amen. We're going to see, last time we saw, four steps to effectively using Jesus' faith in us. That's what we saw last time. But we spoke about two steps, correct? And I'm going to remind you again. Normally, I don't like to teach through steps or things of the sort. I don't know, step one, step two, step three. I don't like that. But I didn't find another way for you to understand it better in this area. So I just put it this way, it's four steps. But when you practice them, it's actually all just one step. So let's say that step one is you have to receive a revelation. You have to receive the revelation. The finished works of Christ Jesus, the unconditional love of Christ Jesus, and the finished works of Jesus Christ, which is the grace of God. So one more time, you have to have a revelation. You truly have to have an understanding. I'm about to enter into another area in this study series on false grace, debauchery, and things of the sort. But I needed you to understand this first. And this is where you have a revelation. So many people do not understand this. There are many preachers who will not preach speaking. Oh, it's debauchery and people are going to sin and they're going to walk in disobedience. Well, tell that to Apostle Paul. You know what Apostle Paul is known as in this covenant? What was that? One of the names? What? Scream it. The Apostle of Grace. That's one of the names of the Apostle Paul. Did you know that? That's how he's known as the apostle. So yes, there are people who teach some terrible things and they call it grace. Yeah, it's true. But there's a lot of extremes and teaching that are not. See the lights, perhaps. But, you know, there are times where the truth will set you free. Not fear of preaching the truth. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. But, Brother Hughes, there are those who will misunderstand. All due respect, not my problem. And it's not the problem of the Lord. Now, if you depend on the Holy Spirit, you won't misunderstand. The first thing is you have to receive a revelation of the grace of God. It has to be revealed to you. Second, you have to believe that you receive it. The grace of God, the promises that God gave you. Now let's see the third step. Here it comes. The third step, and this one's very important. Entering into the rest of God. Have to enter into the rest of God. And this is very difficult. I'll be very honest. Very difficult, which is why the Bible speaks on it so much. It's one of the points, very important points to touch on. So Hebrews 4, verse 9. Hebrews 4, 9-11. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, though in this case those works are dead works, as God did from his. Then verse 11, in Spanish, that translation says, that translation is a little weak, as to say, try to come. It's a very weak translation. The best way is if you see it in English, it is better. Let us therefore be diligent. Let us labor. Let us work. Let me see, give me another version in English, New Living Translation or something of the sort, or the New International Version. Let us therefore make effort. There we go. You have to make effort. You have to make an effort. Very curious how if you understand or perhaps have an understanding of a few words, be it in Spanish or English. How many of you know how in the natural, rest, to rest, and to work are contrary? Nevertheless, here the Bible puts it as the same. Put it one more time, please. Notice here, New Living Translation, New International Version. Let us therefore make every effort. Now, the New Living Translation. So let us do our best. So very similar as try to. Because again, as I told you, let's see in English, the New King James Version. It says the same. Let us therefore be diligent to enter to that rest. So as to be diligent. Understand that? Be diligent. And to be diligent will cost you what? Effort. Someone say amen. Now, don't lose your spot here. Go with me to 2 Timothy. Holy Father, thank you, Lord. Regardless of everything that's going on, God is with us. Someone say amen. See so many people suffering in the world. Even Christians, they suffer the same as people from the world. So many people in different countries. And it hurts me in my heart. What did I say, 2 Timothy? God is with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us maintain firm, functioning, regardless of what's going on outside. Let us do our part. Talk, let's speak, preach. The Holy Spirit will tell us. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, 1. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong, or make an effort to be in that grace. So why do we have to make an effort to enter into rest? Because here, rest is not talking about being inactive, of being lazy. And that's what false grace preaches. Well, yeah, it doesn't matter. Don't do anything. Oh, God loves you the same. So just be at home. Don't go to church. Don't pray. Don't give. You don't have to pray. God loves you the same. You see? Because you say, oh, well, we have to be in rest. And there are some where that's all they do, just being in rest on the couch with the remote control. Hallelujah, it doesn't matter. Uncle Sam is sending us a check every day. But that's another subject. That's not what it's referring to. You shouldn't come to church or do this or pray or read your Bible or serve just to try to please God. Again, those are dead works. And you already understand that. But the other extreme is, no, don't do anything. And to those who are born out of their heart, well, they'll tell them, no, you don't have to do anything because those are dead works. No, the two extremes are very incorrect. Both extremes. So, why is it an effort? Why do we have to make an effort? Why does the Bible say make an effort to enter into that? Why? A very simple explanation and very profound at the same time. Especially in this time with technology that we have. For example, you have any type of issue, financial, a legal issue, and very quickly, that tendency in our, talking about here in our mind, in our flesh, us want to try to fix everything instead of letting it be God through us. Those are two very different things. Well, you go quickly, call this person, or tell them this, or send them a message. You know what I'm referring to? In other words, we want to fix everything ourselves. We don't sleep when there's an issue, especially if we have situations, financial situations, problems. Very, very quickly, we want to try to fix it ourselves. So where's that effort? You know where that effort is? Very simple. The effort is in turning off your phone and turning everything off, not hearing other voices, sitting down at home, and start praying in other tongues. And I'll tell you why, because tongues has to do a lot with entering into rest. It's one of the most important things if someone truly wants to enter into the rest of God. It's difficult, trust me, because you know what? We have that ingrained in our head since we were children, I think. That of trying to fix everything ourselves, believing that we know everything, believing that we understand everything. And it costs, entering into rest costs, because it costs to submit this mind and this flesh. You know what I'm referring to? Have you been in issues where quickly, we'll call this person, call this one, say this and tell that, or I'll call them and then you call this one and send a message? We're very quiet. As if I'm preaching to the chairs. You identify yourself with what I'm saying? And then quickly you see that your decision, my decision, flesh, is why I told you right now to help me pray. Yeah, man, I should not have done. I should not have said that. That's where the Bible says, diligent, make an effort into entering into rest. Decisions under rushed or under pressure. Now I know, we all learn, but sometimes we all learn through bad ways instead of using. For example, where you are right now in your life, the position that you're in, your age, and when you turn looking back, years ago, and you start letting the Holy Spirit minister to you, you realize, man, how many bad decisions I took. Which is why that phrase is very dangerous. I decided, to do this. I decided, or I made plans. You notice how the true faith will always depend on the grace of God. Faith, the true faith, will always depend on the grace of God. Faith always depends on the Lord Jesus Christ. Always. But we take decisions. In the past, we've taken bad decisions. And I know I'm not accusing anyone. And when I say Notice how I said we have. I include myself. Not saying that we've done everything incorrectly and everything is our fault. But, you know, if you're honest and you let the Holy Spirit minister to you, you'll realize. Amen. One of the things that I'm very joyful for, and I was thinking about that today, and I was telling the Lord, I wasn't just saying, but more so, I was talking with Him. I was saying, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that I have to preach the Holy Spirit and minister the Word. Last time I was given a report on how many countries are in the world? 192? Well, according to what the internet and all that say, because I know I've never been in other countries. Have you been in other countries? But according to what there's 190 something countries. In this moment, God, you and I are reaching what? How many? 87 countries. Didn't tell me. Oh, 92. What we're reaching. Has to be God. Who knows that that's God? Because you and I are nothing special. When we have something special, it's because the special one is in us. Just by the grace of God. Everything that's going on. You know what? Since I learned about this, I said, Lord, you take control. Tremendous. And I had to apply it to my own life as well. Very difficult, but I'm giving thanks to the Lord because I said, Lord, because, you know, in this study series, and in Job as well, but in this study series, oh man, we're going to be learning a lot of things about what false grace is, what true prosperity is, biblical prosperity. And you'll be surprised that it has nothing to do with cars or houses or anything of the sort. Although God is not bothered by that. That's just a result. But the focus is not on it. And what happens with so many people in the body of Christ is that their focus are on things. Cars, houses, and things. And they'll say, oh, I'm blessed because of this. No, you're blessed because you have the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. You have to have a revelation of that. That's true blessing. The rest, prosperity, things of the sort, they come because it's just a result of your obedience. But your obedience was because you connected that faith of Jesus to the grace of God. Amen. Are we good from there? Are you learning? The difficult that it is. And yeah, I recognize it. No, it's difficult. It's happened to me as well. Especially when you have a business or something. I mean, you get caught up in the things of life and the things of your business. And sometimes you want to fix the situations by yourself. And sometimes I just told something, you know what? I'm in a situation where I'm just in the rest of God. Because if I want to do things in my own strengths, I'm not going to, when everything I'm going to get, or now I'm going to be frustrated. I'm going to make the situation even worse. And someone told me, oh, well, I would like to be like Sister Nubia and you. And I said, what do you mean? Because you guys have never problems. And I said, well, how do you know? He said, well, you never talk about them. Well, I mean, well, I'll give you an example. I never characterize myself by defending pastors. That's not my characteristic. But I can defend some good pastors that I know. And one time I told someone, well, you don't know what we go through as pastors. You don't know how it hurts us when a brother or sister in Christ is ill or they passed away. Or we know that they're going through something difficult in their personal life with their children. Or you don't know what sometimes how we might not even sleep because of that and we pray for them. Those people just speak because they have a mouth. But you're not in us. You're not with us. You don't know how difficult this is sometimes. Because it hurts us. It hurts us when the God are pain. But you know what happens? We use our faith. That faith that Jesus gave us and the authority to not let that discouragement, that sadness tip us over, because then we can't help the children of God. Doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt us, that it doesn't hurt us in our hearts. We just talk. It's very easy for them to just talk, but they don't live inside of us.
Amen.
That's something else that's very misunderstood when people say. Well, I'll give you an example. It's just by the grace of God that I hope it's not like that, but some of you are using your is perhaps trying to get rid of in your back. Some of you are using your faith. No, it's not a question. It's not a weird question. It's a no, right? Okay. Are you using your faith to perhaps remove a tumor in your back? Well, but you use your faith for something that perhaps you're in an issue with. What I'm trying to say is, when I've used my faith, I'm saying, hey, I don't worry. Doesn't mean that that worry doesn't come, or that discouragement or sadness, or the problem, or even tiredness come. But I don't let it. I don't let the effects of it, that discouragement and that sadness, hit me over. Which is why I have to use my faith. Why else would I use it? So I use that example. How are some of you using your faith to get rid of a tumor in your back? No, right? Well, you're not going to use that. Why? Because you don't have it. So, when we talk about using our faith for worry, for discouragement, it's because it does come. It wants to come. No one denies it. Perhaps we will have issues. Perhaps there are situations. But faith denies the situation to control your life. Remember, we are three-parted beings. Multimedia, please help me. Hallelujah. With the image that we have about spirit, soul, and body. Based on Thessalonians. Now, notice here. Well, I want to look here, but I don't know, since I'm from the left. Well, I'm right-handed. Notice this. Spirit, soul, and body. Which makes the man. Now that in the middle where it says spirit or soul in the middle, where it says mind, will, and emotions, right there is where the attacks come, where discouragement, worry, fear, all types of fear, doubt, unbelief, all that goes there. And while you're alive, when something different happens to your perspective, your soul will react. Understand? Did you understand that? Question, do you understand? Amen. So it's normal that your soul will react. The only way that your soul won't react is if you're dead. But it's normal that your soul reacts. What is not normal now is that you live by it, that you live by the reactions of your mind. Understand? But yeah. Because there are people, I know that there are some people, especially some pastors, in front of their congregation will seem like they're very tough, but when they have issues with their children or other people, they're crying at night, calling on God. I'm not saying that it's wrong to call on God. What I'm saying is that they're misunderstanding it, because they present as if, oh, they never have issues. Yeah, we have a mind, and then we have a body where illnesses want to get onto it, but that's why we also resist them. Amen. See, here where I'm at, I mean, sometimes my mind reacts like that with certain situations. There are things that hurt me. I mean, some issues that are going over there to our south, you think as if, oh, I don't care. No, it hurts me. It hurts me in here. It hurts me here in my heart and my feeling. A lot. But I don't let it control me. Understand that? I can't live by that, because I can't let it control me. But it does hurt me. I have perhaps spilled a few tears over it, because How is that possible? Because they're my people. But I don't walk by that. I have to say glory to God, hallelujah, and then get that strength out of you from hearing your spirit. I tell you, because it's part of walking in rest. You're gonna find a struggle every day. This life is a daily struggle. Have you noticed that? Well, good. Because there are some who think that just preaching everything is just a bed full of roses. No, we don't preach that. Perhaps some give that impression, but I don't. Galatians 5. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. But that's what I'm referring to. When contrary circumstances come, contrary to us, negative to what you were thinking or believing for, be it because of the devil, provoked it, be it because you provoked it for not hearing the voice of God, taking bad decisions, the world, people of the world come against you, etc. Be it whatever. The results are not the way that you were thinking. Look, hope some of you, well, I'm hoping that those will understand. It's normal for your mind, for your soul to react. You understand that? You understand that's normal. The mind will react. Well, I don't want my mind to react, Brother Hughes. Well, you're going to have to die. Your mind will react. You understand? It's normal. What is not normal? Understand? What is not normal is that we live in those reactions. We walk in those reactions. Are you understanding what the verse? By faith, we walk. Which is why we use faith, because we feel those things coming. If not, we wouldn't have to use faith, which is why I tell you. Which, again, by the grace of God, I'm believing no. But perhaps, how many one of you are believing that a tumor will disappear from your back? And all of you told me no. You see, you're not using faith for that. Why do we use faith? Or when do we use faith? Or do we use when do we use faith for something contrary? So, when contrary circumstances come, we react when things are not correctly. It's wrong for those reactions to guide us. But we do have those emotions. I have news for you. God has emotions. But He doesn't walk by them. If God walked by emotions, one of them would be anger. I can assure you, He would have swiped out a couple leaders in our government. He would have clean slated the earth a while ago. Hallelujah. That's all I'm going to say. Still there. Now notice this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, which is why you have to cast it out from you. Now, again, help me one more time with the images. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. Let's see, spirit, soul, and body. I'm going to grab it here. Where is that love? Over there where it says spirit. Where is that joy where it says spirit? So, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you use it, remember that we saw that we have to use it. When you use it, my beloved brother and sister, cost my Lord a lot. You cost Him. My beloved righteousness in Christ. When you start using your faith, what you do is you transfer that love, that joy, that peace from your spirit to your soul. And that's where you'll be able to control your emotions. Oh, no, no. Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate it. Now, if I use it again, if I need to use it again, I'll let you know. There you go. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or perseverance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Have you seen that kindness? Now, come back to me, thank you. When they say, oh, he's very good, brother, that brother is very good. Yes, sleeping. What it is that fruit is working in them through Jesus. And when we see people of the world who are kind, well, they don't have that in here because they're not born again. But many people are kind because in the world, of course, that's how you can win heaven. And it also has to do with, you know, some people are very calm, or certain genetics, that's how their parents were, etc. But I'm talking about believers born again. That of, whoa, he's very kind. Well, don't believe it. I mean, have you seen how I go when I get mad? You know what happens? Is you think that here, oh, no, I haven't seen him yet. Nothing when I get mad. I'm not saying that it's very good, but what I'm trying to tell you is, you know what it is? It's Jesus in us. That fruit working in us. And all we do is flow. That you can give yourself a lot of boastfulness of saying, oh, people say I'm very kind. No, it's by Jesus in you. It's that fruit of Jesus in you. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, discipline. Just as you have to use faith, you have to use self-control. Now, let's go to Isaiah. I think that it came. It's all very good. Now, do you notice how when you give Jesus all the glory, and you remove yourself out of the equation, you know the equation as in 1 plus 1 equals 2? Well, look. When it's Jesus plus Jesus equals everything. But Jesus plus you equals disgrace because something's going to go wrong. You understand that? Some of you don't like that because you think that have that of the Pharisees. Some people say, well, I've accomplished all this because of my faith. Boasting. Yeah, it's the faith of Jesus in you. If not, you wouldn't be. But Brother Hughes, Jesus told the lady with the issue of blood that her faith healed her. Yeah, but it was all through Jesus. So you don't boast yourself now. Isaiah. Some of you are very curious. But it's because instead of working through love, patience, perhaps some of you a little bit of boastfulness, selfishness. Isaiah 28. Start reading verse 9-12. Are you in the rest of God? How do I know if I'm in the rest of Isaiah 28. Whom will he teach knowledge, understanding, biblical understanding, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from the milk, those just drawn from the breasts. What is Isaiah referring to? Now, don't lose your spot here. We're going to come back to this. Go to 1 Peter, Lord. Peter and in 2. Don't lose your spot in Isaiah, 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil doing or evil speaking, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. That is why Word of Faith Ministry, biblical, balanced, in which you trust. Not an adulterated message. That that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted the Lord, that the Lord is gracious. That growing is spiritual maturity. So now, go back to Isaiah. Whom will he make the understanding of the message? Those just weaned or removed from the breast? Look at verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. So that indicates that spiritual growth. Start learning here, a little bit there. And we'll learn how to dominate those emotions, how to dominate our emotions, that sadness. I'm not saying that it's wrong or to feel condemned if you're sad or if you felt sad or sadness has come over you. I'm not saying to feel condemned by that and wrong. What is wrong is that we walk by that. Amen. We walk in it. You don't know how many people from here in church I've dealt with where they cry. Where, I mean, it hurts them when they tell me the issues. And I understand them. I remember this one perfectly. And he dried up his eyes and he said, "You do understand? Yes, I do. Although you may not believe it, I have a human side as well." Line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's referring to growth, spiritual growth. Now, 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this. Isaiah was using some very interesting stammering lips. I'll explain that right now. Verse 12, to whom he said, "This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." Now, what if you say, with just referring to the word on rest, I'm going to put it from the Royal Spanish Academy. Just that word rest means, of course, rest itself, to be at peace. So could you say, are you working in rest? Are you in the rest of God? If not, I'll give you the solution. Peace, quiet, calm. Are you calm? Relaxation. Are you relaxed? Now, I'm not talking about being relaxed without doing anything at home as a couch potato. You know, I'm relaxed over on the sofa with the remote in one hand, phone in the other. No, I'm not talking about that. But this has to do with something. That's what that means. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. Right now, as I told this one person, I'm in a situation where, in some issues, where I can't do anything more. It has to do with something personal, something my business. Now, I want to clarify, because when some pastors say, "I'm in a personal issue," majority of people, I don't know what they hear it as this. He's in a matrimonial issue. No, I'm not referring to that. When I say personal, it has nothing to do with my matrimony. Nothing. On the contrary, we are very good right now. Thank the Lord. Actually, my wife and I are in faith in this situation that is going on. But you know, I can't do anything. But we're in the... And I know that I am going to see that victory. I know. I can't do more, and I'm not going to do more. And I've been in the rest. And I told this pastor from which I was on the phone. I said, "Oh, look, come. I said, look, farther ahead, I'm not going to make this stupid decisions. And I told him, right now, I'm in a situation where I am in the rest. And, you know, he understands this language of rest, faith, and I'm praying, studying, I'm tending to my business more than ever, especially with the multimedia team, with everything that the Lord is doing through us, expanding everything. Ending with people, praying for certain people, etc. Pastoral meetings with people. You notice how I'm doing something while you do something, you're in rest. And with that, while this happens, sometimes things don't look so good. I'm still in the rest. You know why? Because these things that I'm telling you, if I do something, if I want to fix something in my own strength, then I'm going to provoke them as it's going to be the devil, because I'm trying to fix something myself. But if I stay with this, and when the time comes and I see that victory, I'll speak it with you. And I'll use it as a testimony. I can't do it right now because I don't want to give more words to the devil. How many of you understand? I just say glory to God. And it'll be a big smack on the head that the Lord will give the devil. Because the result is going to be so good that I'll tell you later. And something that the devil hates is this. That when you're in problems, and when you see the manifestation happens that you're believing on, is in that manifestation. That'll get you out of that problem. That not only do you, or me in this case, am I blessed in something financially or in any area, but also you help and bless other people. Brothers in Christ, the devil detests it. He detests it. And when you use things, this has to do with some. Here's another situation with some other faith partners that they're believing with me, about two or three of them. Tell you something, the devil detests that. But I'm in the rest. Part of being in rest. I'll tell you this. It's imperative. Now, let's see on the word in a little bit of what is rest. Now, stay with stammering. To stammer. That's the word here, to stammer. Now, here in its context in the Hebrew, is referring to make fun of. Now, not talking about to stammer as you and I understand it when someone doesn't speak correctly, or perhaps they stutter to speak, or it's because us. No, it's not talking about that. Which is why I used the Royal Spanish Translation or Academy, because that translation so much in English to Spanish. But here, you do have to go to the Hebrew and see exactly what the Hebrew is trying to talk about. Talking about to make fun of. To mock. Ridicule. To stammer. Or to speak unintelligibly. When something is not understood. Why to make fun? Well, one time I heard someone say, which is why this has to do with speaking in tongues. Because they were saying that this is why when people make fun of us when it's talking about that. But no, it has nothing to do when people make fun of us. It's on the contrary. When you and I stammer or speak in other tongues and spend time, it's God making fun of the plans of the devil. It's all the contrary. Glory to God. This is very good. Now, go to a moment with me, which is why this is so important in these difficult times. Understand what this is referring to, because perhaps some of you, some of the people that are watching me on television, or people that see me on radio or on the internet, well, I'll give you a good report. They just informed me that in this new radio in Chihuahua, let's see if I understood correctly. Where's Erica? The Erica just disappears. The rapture could. Oh, there she is. Are you there? Okay. Let's see if I understood you correctly. To the pastors in the city of Chihuahua, it's what it's referring to? Yes? Okay. They're liking kingdom and government in this new radio station. Now, just with that, I doesn't matter what some of them believe that we're like Job or something. I mean, if I won them on the other side of the politics, I mean, I'm happy with that. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, glory to God. And we're going for more. You see, which is why the devil sometimes comes with attacks. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9. But what more about this, about the rest, and we need this? Look, I'll give you some advice. For now, start stammering. A lot. A lot. A lot. A lot. Forget that you speak English or Spanish. Forget that you speak Aztec or something, a dialect. Forget it. Forget all about that. For now, stutter. You understand? Now go to 2 Corinthians 9. Very good. No, apologies. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Now, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. 2 Corinthians 8, 1. That in great trial of tribulation, you notice how the brothers and sisters of Macedonia were also going through issues. But you notice how Paul never denied that they were going through issues, saying, oh, you're all strong in faith, hallelujah. Notice that? He didn't say it that way. He said that in great trial of affliction, they did not allow that affliction to win them over. He said, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberally. That's them using the faith of Jesus. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. How do we know? Verse 4, implying us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. That's very tremendous. So this church was going through some difficult issues of poverty, and even with that, the Lord God supplied. Now I'm going to jump to chapter 9, because you have to see this as something supernatural, please. Understand that God is a supernatural God. Stop walking in what you gain in a year, what you do. Focus on this. Stutter a lot. Stutter in other tongues, because that depression will go away. That pressure will go away. Discouragement will go away. And it'll cost you, I know, especially if you're not used to it. Because there are Christians who, although they receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just in the morning they wake up and throw 1, 2, 3 words. And then later on they'll just pray whenever they feel like it. And no, make an effort. It'll cost you. But when you do achieve it, it's in English, it's like a breakthrough.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower, he supplies seed to them because they had the heart for it. God will always give seed to who? Sower. Supply seed to the sower. And bread for food. Supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. But people see it in the natural. Well, no, I don't have enough. Well, that's why. Connect yourself with the grace of God. He says that He will provide the seed. You know what the word provide here? He who supplies. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Put King James. Now he that ministers. What does minister mean? To administrate. Serve. How many of you have gone to perhaps a... How many of you have gone to a restaurant to eat? Let me say who. I only eat veggies at home. Oh, shut up.
Okay.
How many of you have had a waitress or a waiter? Notice how when you sit down... And they give you a menu. Yes, right. Perhaps a juice or a certain sell it there. Want something else? The waiter goes, the one that's serving you, and then he comes and serves it at your table. That's what God does. God brings that seed. But when you're just, oh, I don't have enough, I don't have this, well, I don't believe. It doesn't work. When you have a willing heart, it's not just throwing money. No, you have to believe. He who has seed supplies the seed to the sower. Now in verse 10, help me with the New Living Translation. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. So the same way he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. See, but you have that. Remember my brothers. Brothers, the two men. Many of you know Anaí, my sister, but two of them, newer ones to the things of God. He called me yesterday and he said, I want to give a tithing to the church. I said, oh yeah, because he's following us now. Watching right now, I believe. Good. Wants a Bible. I said, oh, I have a Bible on the way for him, very similar to mine. He wants to change his life. Everything, glory. And I explained to him. You know, instead of just saying, well, here goes your account. Here's how it does. And I said, are you sure? And I'm an audio. And I said, look, I explain things like this. I said, yes, I want to do it. Hallelujah. So God will start providing seed to sow, and then harvest will come, especially for him who understands seed and harvest. He's dedicated to that many years. He understands it very good. He understands that you have to sow to receive a harvest. But the motive is very important. The motive. And what happens with that false message of prosperity? You just focus on give so God can bless you with a car. God lives in this. And we have people, a grand majority of them, are in debt, and they call that blessing. Understand this. They don't sleep because they say, well, we're blessed. So you see all this, we're going to see with the Bible. Line by line, a little here, a little there. And when you see it, you'll see it much better. You'll say, wow. But now, be like Job. But now, I've heard you just by ear, but now I see you and I will seek you. Brother, continue with Isaiah. I want to go have dinner. And go. What about you? I don't know about you, but no, I still have a lot of energy. Well, no, I don't. I want to go sleep. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, please. Hallelujah. I like Sunday services. They last more. Well, yeah, because we have a different flow. It's fine, it's Sunday. Hey, but it's the day of the Lord. We give first things to the Lord. Someone say amen.
But right now we have to get up early. Tomorrow we have to get up early. Maybe you stayed very quiet. Saying, yeah, about 10. A while ago when I lived, no. This young man was one of those who used the peace of the Lord to be in the couch. And he wanted to go out with a girl, but the girl's dad didn't want him to see it. It didn't work. The brother, you heard that? He wanted me to be his third man, his third wheel. And they said, hey, it's because if you get in problems, I don't want to be in problems. If I had daughters, I'd want them to go out with you. He used to say, well, I'm going to start working now. I went with the dad. And he says, Robert wants me to talk to you because he wants to go out with your daughter. And the dad says, no. And Robert was right next to me, and the dad, no, Brother Hughes. I already told Brother Hughes that I'm going to start working around 11. And I said, my God. No, don't talk, Robert. Don't talk. Yeah. Hey, the word says that we have a lawyer with us who's just. You said, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I have a lot of problems. You need to close your mouths. Amen. We need to remind ourselves what the word says. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So right now we're going to go to sleep, go mimis, get up early. Hallelujah. Lord, we get up early. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We give you thanks. We're thankful because you are good. Lord, thank you for you are our helper. You are with us for your word. Thank you for this beautiful time we spent together, for your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak favor of God over children, and especially those who see us and hear us over in TV, radio. I speak favor. They're highly favored. There's so many people in the world suffering. Many people need. Thank you for your brother helper. You are manifesting yourself one way or another. Holy Father, the part that corresponds to us, Word of Faith Ministry, you speak to them through the teaching, through what we speak here. Thank you, Lord. I speak a higher mercy to other countries, to our brothers in Venezuela. In all the countries, and I would have to name all those countries because you are everywhere. Thank you, Lord. I speak a higher and bigger grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you For all your children, the body of Christ who is suffering persecution, death, rapes. So many Christians that are being killed, and many of us don't value, we don't give enough value, and they thank you enough times. But we are here tonight, and no one told us when to be here. No authorities have told us that we can't come here, how much time to spend here. And for the grace of God, we won't see that. We don't value that. And in other countries, people have to unite, hidden with fear. They go because they love you, but in the natural, they are fearing for their wives and their children, sons and daughters. Many believers are suffering Jesus, but they're not ashamed for it. We've lost that sensibility here in this country. We've taken our privilege to congregate for granted. How much compassion you have. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for those, they show bravery. Because in some of these countries, they make them give up Jesus, or they are killed, and they die praying and die worshiping you. We've lost that sensibility here. Yes. My humble themselves through my name, I will hear them and I will heal their land. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.